Jai Bheem and Jai Savitri, everyone. I'm Tenmore Soundarajan, and this is the series Cast in the United States with First Post. Today's episode is a conversation with our colleague Sam Cornelius, who is a longstanding Dalit technologist and Ambedkarite, who has many years working in multinational tech companies both in India and the US. He's going to talk with us today about his experience of caste in tech and what are the ways forward to eradicate this discrimination in the industry. Jai Bheem, Sam, and wonderful to have you join us. Welcome.
Thank you, Tanmati, for giving me this opportunity.
Let's dig in, shall we? So when we talk about caste in tech, it is really important for our audience to understand where it begins. And I know for you, Sam, it really started at casteist educational institutions. You, for example, went to IIT Mumbai, where the defendants of the Cisco case also attended. And these institutes are notorious for their casteist cultures. Can you share your experiences?
Yeah, thank you for asking the question. And I think thank you for bringing this issue to the forefront. You know, as you know, in the US diaspora, the word caste is also not known to people. You know, if you are a non-Indian, the word caste is also not known. So thank you for bringing this issue to forefront and giving me this opportunity. I did, join IIT in my 90s. I was surprised because IIT has been such a, premium institute that, coming into that is like, almost like a dream come true. So when I stepped into IIT in my early teens, I was not very much aware of how the system works and, how the whole thing works and things like that. But now I can relate, much as to how the system is being structured and all. Okay, so the very first thing is when I stepped into the IIT, even today, probably there is some kind of ragging, but at that time, there used to be some kind of ragging. So my seniors who came to rag me on day one, somehow I felt that they knew my caste even before I knew it. I could decide whether I wanted to tell them or not to tell them. So, and the way that happens, because when IITs are bringing out their ranks, I think it is even today. So the scheduled caste and the scheduled tribe ranks are different than the All India ranks. So if a general category student, if he's getting, let's say, rank 1, 2, 3 and all, his rank is AIR 1, All India rank 1, 2, 3. But for a scheduled caste person, if your rank is, SC1, SC2 and SC3 like that. So by your roll number and by your rank, already it's put in notice boards and all, and people who know about it, the seniors especially, they already know what is your rank and how you have come. So that's step one, which I couldn't understand because I got into our local, I'm from Hyderabad, so Usman University, in there you have only one rank. I didn't understand, why IIT has to come up with this different rank just because they have to give the affirmative action. That I didn't understand, but that is the step one of IIT, where they already have, by their ranks itself, they have differentiated. And if I'm not wrong, during those days, at least there were, even for the answer sheets, they use a different color answer sheets for if you are from SCSTs versus non-SCSTs. At that time, there was no OBC reservation, but I'm pretty sure OBCs also will come into the same thing now. So that's where it starts from. That means the person who is actually correcting our sheets, they think that it makes this easier, or they give different reasons when we talk to them why they would need a different color sheet and things like that. So the different rank and the different color sheets, that itself is at the entry itself, you are seeing the discrimination.
So Sam, just so it's clear for our audience, Dalit students who are reservation or affirmative action beneficiaries really have the fact that they are affirmative action students very publicly broadcasted through these many different ways that you've just talked about. Whether it's your attendance number or the examination answer sheet, the public nature of you being marked as a reservation student really opens up a pathway for so much bullying and discrimination. And that's partially because with that information being made public, people now know who to segregate and discriminate against. Is that right?
Yes, based on your roll number, your rank comes. The roll number and your rank is put on the notice board. So if you are getting 10 rank or 8 rank,
So it will say SC8 or SC, you know, this thing. So scheduled caste will have their own ranks. Like ST guy will get a ST1, ST2, ST3. He doesn't get a rank of All India rank 1. So the combination of the roll number and your rank gives them that thing. And if you are writing the exam even before you get your rank, you are writing the exam. So when you are writing the entrance examination, because you are saying that I am from, you know, SCST category, I want to write this exam. I remember we had, you know, the answer sheets given to us were of different color than the general category students. I think the reason at that time was given is because they want to make sure, you know, they are giving some special consideration or something like that, blah, blah. I don't know why, you know, I never understood that even today, but I'm hoping it doesn't happen today. But I know, I think during my time, that was one of the things which I felt very odd. You know, it doesn't say anything except for the guy who is correcting. If he already knows he's correcting, you know, from these people, he might be more biased than being considerate, I would say. Okay. For me, you know, I am saying as a Dalit, I always tell, you know, to people, whomever I'm talking, we don't need your favors. What we need is put check and balances that people cannot discriminate on us, and we will run. So I feel that, you know, if we have put checks and balances at every place where there's no way of doing a discrimination, or if there is, they should be so scared that the laws and everything, the checks and balances will catch them. So this, I felt, you know, it is at the beginning stages, this combination of these answer sheets, the ranks was at the very beginning, looked very odd. Even today, if it is happening, I would say at the beginning, okay, the entrance. And once you come, the Indian Institute of Technologies are considered as premier, as you know, even today, the premier institute. So when I came, in the evening, because the ragging itself was new to me, you know, in my 12th grade, till my 12th grade, I studied in Hyderabad. So there was no ragging and all. I used to go to home and I was a day scholar. So, but in the evening when people came, boss, I know who are you? So don't try to, you know, fool me. And I even felt, people having eventually different names to identify the scheduled caste, scheduled tribe people, the students themselves. Okay. So some of them would refer to us in their conversations, you know, as CATUs. CATUS, CATUS meaning, you know, actually for them, you know, they are saying that these guys came from category, you know, these are category students. So some people would say, you know, SUCKSET, which stands for SCST, they used to pronounce it as SUCKSET. Oh, this guy is SUCKSET kind of thing. Initially, I didn't understand that, but later on, after I became senior and all, I came to know these are some of the things. Of course, in front of us, they will use it for some other thing, but internally, they are trying to tell, you know, give message to this others that, okay, boss, these guys are these guys kind of thing.
And Sam, I think the thing that I want to just like emphasize for our listeners is that, IITs are where people of privilege have their caste capital get converted into tech capital. Whereas for our community, we are going there to be able to have a better life for our, for ourselves and for our families. And, you know, we enter these very hostile places. And we know, like, from the work of, you know, Ambedkar Periyar study circles at IIT Madras and IIT Mumbai, how deeply casteist these institutions are. And we've seen complaints from both Dalit students, Dalit faculty, and Dalit workers. In fact, for IIT Mumbai, there was a professor there, you know, Professor Rahul Deshmukh, who had basically tortured and harassed, you know, two Dalit workers so much because they wanted to unionize that they tried to commit suicide on his doorstep. And, you know, one of the things that they cited in their letter was he basically told them, this is an institute not for Mahars and Bungies. How dare you unionize and get out of here, right? And this is all reported in mainstream news. But again, like, you know, there is this impunity related to caste where we know these things are happening. Nothing happens. And then as a result, people who are of caste privilege just get bigger and bolder. And, you know, what I think about, you know, the defendants of the Cisco, you know, case went to IIT Mumbai. So they're going to this environment where, you know, dominant caste people are kind of puffed up and get to talk about their bootstraps narrative where, look, we're just here because of merit. And then these people create very casteist alumni networks that lead to them being part of internal referral networks into companies. And so I'm wondering, Sam, if you could talk a little bit about how these casteist schools lead to casteist companies in the Valley and throughout tech.
So I just want to touch this topic of suicides, right? You know, when I was telling how at the entrance, you know, somebody would say, oh, okay, fine, if you are knowing at the, when you entered, the professor knows you are from category and the students knows your category. So what does it matter? What happens is that the people have their own network. So a scheduled caste person, once you are identified at that young age of 18 years, 19 years, right, then you are out of their, you know, closed groups. So you feel isolated a little bit. And then eventually, you know, there is no checks and balances on how the professor is actually grading these people. Most of them come from, you know, not so good English background, so they may be struggling in terms of speaking in English, but they may be really doing in terms of performing. I haven't seen a single, you know, SC, ST cell created in any of the IITs. I have traveled across, you know, to more IITs. I talk to people there. There is no SC, ST cell where, you know, they can reach out to, oh, this is our SC, ST professor, and, you know, I can reach out to him. So there was nothing like that. You know, I think in IITs, there is no representation of SC, ST professors at all. That is the root of it. So there is no SC, ST professor where people can think, oh, boss, I have come from this category. There is a professor from our category who will take care of his, who is a faculty advisor and all. There are faculty advisor, but they are all from general category professors only. Okay, so they can't understand our problem. We can't tell to them very quickly. They're like, boss, what the hell, you know, we already gave you so much concessions to get into IIT. So should we still give you after you come kind of attitude, which I have seen in some of them. So that isolation, and then if you are getting a little bit low grades and no support system available for them to bring it up, leads to isolation. When I was there in my second year itself, there was a girl, a scheduled caste girl, who actually burnt herself in her hostel. And if you look at the statistics, on an average, at least you are having, even if you take till today, you will see more than one suicides happening in students just from the undergrad, you know, B.Tech students. They may be still in masters and PhDs and all. I am not even talking about them. Just in the B.Techs, if you see average, there is at least one student suicide happening across IITs only. Then if you take AIIMS and if you take NIITs and, you know, various other premier institutes, you have at least, I think, 5 per year. So that is where it leads to that isolation. So now in this whole system, this being premier institutes, the other thing I was telling it is there is no checks and balances whether the professors are actually doing what they are supposed to do. If they are, it is an autonomous institute. If you get a zero, still the professor can give you an A grade because it's a relative rating. But I didn't see any special systems in place and things like that for the people who are entering in this B.Tech at that age, you know, like either special classes or there is a SCST cell created where people can reach out to them, or there is a complaint cell put in there to see that, oh, boss, I think I did well. You know, I saw that the other guy who is really actually not even coming to the class is getting good grade. I don't know, somehow. And when I talk to him, he doesn't seem to have more knowledge than me, but his grade seems better than me. Okay, so there is no checks and balances in place, which I think is crux. And because these people, these cream of the society, is what is going to the next level. They are the ones who are going, not only going to this tech industry, not only traveling to outside, you know, like US and all. So if they are, people are not made aware of this, you know, that there is some discrimination happening, it is in the interest of the country to make sure that every SCST who is coming in there, you know, scales up to big MNCs, which these people passing out people are going to. And these are mostly the people who are becoming the CEOs, CTOs, all CXOs, CISO people within India. And then these are the people who travel to US or various other countries. So that's how that, because that issue is not addressed right at that root of Premier Institute, it travels across everywhere. You know, at that young age, I didn't understand that, you know, I am not just one person who is coming. I am not just Sam coming into, you know, IIT. It is, you know, I am representative of the community. So you are not just Sandeep, you are representative of the whole community. So basically they are bringing down the whole community when they bring down Sam. If one Sam commits suicide, it's, you know, it's the community which is kind of losing. It's not just Sam.
The other issue which I want to bring about IITs is, even till recently, I think till 2015, the number of seats which were reserved for scheduled caste and scheduled tribes are not completely filled. So if there is 15% reservation for scheduled caste and 7.5% reservation for scheduled tribes, even those minimum seats were not yet filled till 2015. I think that might be happening even till today. Okay? So that you have to understand even that part. So even the bare minimum people who are supposed to represent the community, we are not even filling those seats. That's on the students. If you go to the professors and others, you will see there are hardly, you know, even 1% professors in IITs, and even if you go to IIMs and AIM, you know, All India Institute of Medical Sciences and all. And that's why that same thing, whatever the discrimination and all, because nobody has exposed it or nobody feels that they are wrong, they think that they are doing it in the right sense, that travels across the institutes, into the companies they get into, and that from companies it travels to the different countries. So now in US, if you're talking to the specifically this case, so when they come here, they come up with the same mentality. Either they think, if we have to give them the benefit of doubt, they may think that whatever they are doing are actually they are doing correctly. Okay, they think that, oh, the government has done a big favor by giving, you know, the reservation in the constitution, that their story ends there. So now it is like Dalit has to fight his way out. You know, if we talk about in some instances, in some discussions, when I brought this up, that boss, we have to do more because it's not about Dalits. You know, we are 15% at least, you know, now with the new 2011 census, we are even much more that. We are 16.6% now. We are not losing. That means the country is losing because there is no diversity in every, you know, thing you are doing in every field, whether it is jobs, whether it is media, whether it is everything. We are not having that because you are not letting us come out. You are killing us where those people are generated. You are killing us right there at the Indian Institute of Technologies and various other premier institutes. You are not understanding the problem. You are not bringing checks and balances. Okay, you are not having the SCST cells formed where you can have their own people, because after all, everything, you know, they look for those people. When I joined IIT, I was looking, was, do we have any SCST professors whom I can reach out to tell my which I can be, you know, easily approachable and things like that. So I think that's how it travels to US.
If I can jump in here, because I think that, you know, it is very clear that there is only a deep level of pain that our communities face when they go into such deeply casteist institutions. And it's very clear from the things that you're sharing with us that it's systemic, there's no checks and balances. And, you know, Dalits that, you know, persevere through this very violent environment, you know, hopefully had been thinking that they were going to be leaving casteist schools for hopefully workplaces that were less casteist. But what we're finding, particularly with this Cisco lawsuit, is that these workplaces are also deeply casteist. And I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit now, you know, I know that it's painful, but if we can speak a little bit about what are some of the things that caste-oppressed employees face in these hostile tech workplaces?
That's a very good question. The Cisco case, which you brought out, you know, we were also very much, you know, surprised to see that it has come the way, you know, if you see that particular thing also was not bought by the company themselves or by the employee himself, he has to go. And luckily, the organization which looks at that, I think that organization filed the case. So it took a while, you know, for somebody to actually bring to forefront. Because if you look at US particularly, 99% of the non-Indians, if you even reach out to them and ask them, do you know what is caste? They don't know. So you will be surprised why when they are recruiting lakhs and millions of Indians, how come they don't know? And from 20 plus years, how come they don't know the word caste? If I look at one of the root causes there, you know, even for the companies themselves, forget about the employees not knowing or the citizens not knowing, the US folks, the companies themselves, I would say, not know what is caste.
I mean, Sam, let's just be clear. There is a failure of duty of care by these companies to hire and work and serve huge populations of South Asians and for them not to have the basic competencies related to caste. That's a failure on them, and they are going to be taken to task about it. And this lawsuit is really the tip of the iceberg around it, right? But, you know, again, I think that, you know, knowingly that they have hired, you know, hundreds of thousands of Indians into their workplaces, but their HR departments don't have caste as a protected category. Their HR and diversity and inclusion team members don't understand caste. It's really created a situation where there is a lot of caste discrimination in the workplace. And so I'm just wondering, you know, knowing these tense situations and particularly what if you've experienced, if you could speak to, you know, some of the ways that Dalits have to hide their identity and some of the things like the Tambram Pat and, you know, what are the kinds of conditions that get created for Dalits in the workplace?
Yes, I think you brought right point, Tanmuj. I think, I work for almost top MNCs whose headquarters are based in France, whose headquarters are based in US, are based in various other countries who are setting up their MNCs in India or Indian MNCs who are set up their bases everywhere. If you look at their HR document, they still mention that you cannot discriminate based on race, based on gender, based on country of origin. Okay, the way they are mentioned in the Western countries, but even in India, their HR policies doesn't mention caste in it, that you cannot discriminate based on caste. So yes, I can vouch for that too. And I approached also in some instances to the HR and they did mention to me that is because they want to put consistencies across those HR policies across the various countries. So one would think that, you know, then you should have caste in every other place where you are employing Indians. Okay, wherever Indians go, the caste goes with them. So that is where the root. So as an employee, they have, even in the Cisco case, that is the protection they have been taking that, oh, no, in our HR policies, caste is not mentioned. Again, when I came to US for the first time, I was in my 20s, early 20s and things like that. Okay. So at the time, there are groups, again, the groups which form in premium institutes, which we talked about, they are bought over to US here too. So they have their own networks. And then sometimes in some places, you there is no easy way to find out your caste. Okay, so but your surname doesn't give it off. In most cases, your surname will give it that you are from a category student or not. But if they don't know that you are there to doubly make sure you are not part of them, they usually use various ways. You know, either they will call you to different pujas and how you are, you know, attending those pujas, give away. If you're saying I am not interested in those pujas and all, that gives away. They will ask questions like, oh, are you vegetarian? So if you say, yes, I am vegetarian, so they'll say, are you vegetarian by birth or by choice? Okay, so they try to find out the caste in some way or other. If you are a male adult, what they do is, you know, it took a while for me to note that they will call you for a swim. Okay, or they will pat your back in some way to find out whether you are wearing the white thread or not. So wearing a white thread is done by only upper caste, you know, primarily Brahmins do it. So they know that if you are not wearing a white thread, then that means you are not, you're not a part of upper caste group. They are so well connected in their group and all. So in this MNCs, everything is driven by, you know, network. If one person knows that thing before I even reach my home, drive my home in 1 hour, the message has gone to most of their network folks. So once they know that, you know, if there were checks and balances, it's good. There is checks and balances in MNCs. But of course, in US, because the US folks don't know still the caste, don't know how even one can identify their caste. They fail to understand, you know, that somebody can discriminate based on caste. So in one of the instances, the way I got impacted is in all these MNCs, there is an appraisal system which happens every year. And that appraisal system, if you talk to any person who has worked in MNCs, that is the big thing. Everybody is, working their butt off every day to make sure, you know, they are getting good rating there, because the appraisal rating defines everything. You know, your salary increments are defined based on your appraisal rating, your promotion, your progression is defined based on salary ratings. If you are in offshore, means in India, whether you can travel on-site or not is defined on that appraisal ratings. So when I came to US, in one of the client meetings here, you know, usually client meetings are the meetings particularly happening in US because in offshore, not too many clients travel. So when I attended one of the
client meetings, the client throw get-togethers for getting to know the team and all. So we went into one of those client meeting in one of the hotels. And this client was very eager, you know, somehow I think probably he was doing some work related to caste or something like that. He said, look, I read a lot about caste, you know, in India, and I know it is a big problem in India. I see a lot of stories. I heard a lot of stories about it, but you guys are all here in US and all. I just want to know from US perspective, what is your, you know, take on caste? So my upper caste bosses, usually most of the C-suite people, and if they are Indians, in most of the MNCs, the top management is, you know, either Brahmins or one of the, you know, upper castes. Okay. Hardly, you know, any Dalits have reached that place yet. So in that meeting, my bosses, you know, somehow they still, because that has come from, as we spoke, from the IITs and from that culture itself, right? So they still feel that the caste is not a bad thing. So that's what they were telling there in the meeting to the client. Look, in olden days, there was this great thing called caste system. Society was divided. That the Brahmins were like the managers. They were doing everything. They used to, you know, probably, you know, do the strategy. They used to focus on that. Below them, there were Kshatriyas who were like, you know, they were protectors. They were doing, you know, all those good jobs and, you know, making sure the society is protected from any, you know, outside attack. Then there were Vaishyas who were kind of looking at all the money matters and all. Then there was this Shudras who were taking care of the service to all these classes and society. So that it was such a wonderful thing, the caste system. Of course, then the Britishers came and then they, you know, created divisions, and that's how it all thing. But I think if I'm given a choice, probably we would like to move there. We were, you know, called Golden India during those times when we were following the society. So, you know, after hearing for 3-4 minutes, like I couldn't take it. Then I jumped in and then said, look, you know, if you are a Brahmin, if you are, you know, upper caste, you may like it. Okay. But for a lower caste person, if you ask any lower caste person there, he'll say this is like a monster. You know, caste has ruined everything which they have got, even their human dignity itself, you know, right from there. So they have been discriminated. They have been not given access to education. They have been not given access to money, you know, making jobs. They were not given access to even, you know, if they want to study also, they were denied access to those. And even till today, if you take any newspaper and all, you will see that, you know, we are, the Dalits are facing, you know, atrocities, rapes, and, you know, you name it. In the name of caste. So it is a monster, and the Constitution of India has recognized it. There is very strong laws against caste, and there is a lot of work happening to annihilate caste. So definitely, you know, if you are thinking it was there good at some time, that must have been good only for top 3% or, you know, maybe 5%, but not to the entire society. So that's my take. So then suddenly everybody got silent. You know, they couldn't understand, you know, why would I say that? So in one sense, you know, they felt that probably I am kind of lowering India. Okay, when I'm talking against caste system, they are thinking that I'm talking against India. You know, and the upper caste bosses, in their looks, I could feel, you know, basically they got hurt because they think that it is their heritage. This is that's their great traditions, which I am, you know, trying to find fault and giving wrong impression to a non-Indian. So they kind of took it that way. So in reality, they think still that caste is good for society. So somebody talking about caste system is a no-no to them. After that meeting, within a month, there was an appraisal, the one which I was talking about earlier, which drives everything. So in the previous year's appraisal, I was the top, you know, only the top 5% are given the topmost rating. So I was in that rating the previous year. And after this meeting, nothing changed. It is the same you know, clients I was working for, same delivery and all. So after this episode, in the next rating, I got 2 levels below that. Okay, then I couldn't understand that. I reached out to some people because usually those are driven, you know, the ratings are given not just by one person, but set of people. They get together and then they discuss. Then I reached to one of the people who was part of that, you know, group. And then I asked him, what happened? You know, how come I did the same thing. I got the best there. And he said, no, boss, I agree with you. You don't deserve it. You at least, you know, one level could have been understand, but 2 levels never. Yeah. But somehow these, you know, he was naming one or two people there, which I know who were there in that meeting I talked to about. They were somehow feeling that, no, you should be put in here. That's how you got it. So then, you know, as I told, once the rating came out, then immediately I was told that, you know, within a month or two that I may have to, you know, I was thinking of living in US for a long time. Then after that, I was informed that I may have to, you know, I am needed more in offshore. So please travel to offshore. I had to, you know, move from US back to India. So literally, you know, I could see there was no other reason than that me coming out so strongly, me exposing myself. And I think there is some caste bias there. Other than that, I didn't see anything happening. So once I came to India, you know, I was doing really great. Everything, you know, my degree, my everything is, my experience and all is so great that I could get other job immediately. So the moment I came to know that they informed me about going to India, I immediately applied to other company and I got an offer. So when I came to India, I was there in India for 3 months only because I couldn't take it. Somebody asked me, boss, why didn't you complain and all? I could have done that and then fought. But it's very hard to even tell that. It's like a hunch, right? So I cannot prove in white and black that this is the reason why they did it. Of course, it could have led to saying why I have been graded like that without, even though my performance is good. Yes, something would have come out like that. But to prove the caste angle would have been difficult, okay? So I never choose to do that because I already got offer from there and I had to be coming back to US because of education of my kids and everybody. So I immediately came back to US from other company. That is one instance where it clearly came out how the caste could impact.
This is so great, Sam, that you were brave enough to stand up to this nonsense, particularly because it is such a dominant caste viewpoint to see from the place of privilege that caste brings stability. But of course, for those of us that are caste depressed, that stability for the privileged is bought at the cost of our community's lives. I've heard so many people in the diaspora make this argument, and it is tone deaf and violent. Can you imagine people justifying another system of violence like slavery or apartheid simply for its stability? It's so offensive. I also want to ask Sam, like, how difficult was it to even think about going to HR? And what is the general difficulty our people have in reporting caste discrimination in tech workspaces? And I'm wondering if you could even go into what your own consideration was in deciding not to report.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point which you have brought in, which people you know, don't probably look into it, is the immigration status, right? So it's so difficult as is, you know, for somebody who is on a visa here, especially who are having, you know, kids who are either in middle school or going to high school and all. If your kid has studied here in that schools, not continuing, it's not about me making some money or not. It's like the kids who are done all their education here, suddenly they have to adjust to the education in India, where you have to study the regional language also, and also the other system of the education also. The way the system is very different here than in India. In India, where you have to study, you have to mark things, you have to write things, versus here we are doing things and all. It becomes very difficult to the kids. So that is the biggest consideration which a parent think of when somebody, the company asks him suddenly, no, we are not, you know, wanting to continue you in US, you have to travel to India. So that was the biggest thing on my mind. It's not about money. It's not about anything else, but the impact which it would have had on my kids. So that's where I had to immediately think about how can I, as soon as possible, come back, you know, if I have to be there, because I had that opportunity. I was still having the number of years and, you know, on H-1, it allows at the stretch for 6 years. If you have not applied for your green card, if you have applied for green card, then you can continue for as long as you want till your green card is rejected, you know. So for me, I was getting at that stage, I was thinking that, you know, the company will apply for my green card and I can stay in for as much time as I want, because that is what was promised when I was, you know, coming to US, started from India. So when I was informed of that, that was the biggest thing on my mind. Oh, I never planned for this. I was thinking I was going to be there at least till my kids' education is taken care, you know, till they go into the undergrad college. But for me, I, you know, my kids were at that middle school, high school level. So it was for me very critical that the kids' education will not get impacted. So that's where I was looking for all options. Fortunately, I applied for the company, I got it, and immediately I came. Even if I have gone to the HR, they would have considered somebody with who has worked hard or who is saying that he doesn't deserve rating, they would have tracked only only by that angle. They would have, because in the, as I mentioned in HR policies, there is nothing against caste mentioned in that HR policies that people can discriminate and all, and convincing them that it must have happened because of caste would have been made very difficult for me. But I had a chance at least to tell them that, okay, boss, look, I did really great. Why I got this rating? So I would have got at least one rating above if I would have fought that thing. I know that, okay, because of my just performance. Forget about the caste angle and all. But proving the caste angle would have been, you know, it's almost impossible, especially in US if it has happened and all. Even in India, that is the thing. You know, I haven't heard a single Cisco-like case in any MNCs in India. They have made in HR policies, first of all, they didn't put the caste. If somebody goes in complaints like that, it's very difficult for him to prove. Then even if he proves and all, they will not let it come out of it. They will close it at the HR level itself. If you have seen the newspapers and all, if a Dalit is filing a rape case against somebody, the guy who is accused is not in jail, but the person who is actually filing the case is in jail. That same might be applied here. If I am filing a caste-based discrimination case, probably the guy who is actually I am filing case against may get a promotion, and I may get demotion, or I may get my career, you know, gone for a task if I am exposed. So that is another fear.
Sam, I think this is so important, is that, again, even the category of the H-1B visa was actually created to actually prevent lots of organizing for a just workplace within tech. And so the H-1B visa creates a very particular condition where, you know, even if you are motivated and a powerful activist the way that you are, Sam, the reality is that, you know, if you cause tension in your workplace, you're not just threatening or losing, you know, having to deal with the threat of losing your job. You're actually also having to deal with the threat of losing your immigration status. And that's really a cost that is too heavy for many Dalits and other caste oppressed Americans to bear. Because again, like you said, many of our community are the first generation earners. We are the first generation immigrants into the United States. And we are not just representing ourselves, we are actually supporting an entire network of families. That pressure and that tension is a lot to bear, which is also why, you know, we've heard from many, many, many Dalits. And since the Cisco case came out, Equality Labs got over 250 rapid response emergency complaints from people who were saying, we cannot raise this issue in our workplace. We want to be able to have our stories told. And I think that the Cisco case is really the tip of the iceberg because of how bad the conditions are. And, you know, Dalits can speak out like when we are, and we are determined to basically flank this Cisco case to make sure John Doe gets his time in court. But we also want to be clear, it is not our job to solve hostile workplaces. It is the duty of care of these companies. And you have to really look at the fact that when you're looking at companies like Facebook, like Twitter, like Google, these are corporations not only that employ hundreds of thousands of Indians, both in India and the United States, but they also are, you know, desperately clawing their ways to try to dominate the Indian and South Asian market. Because keep in mind, 1 in 4 people in the world are South Asian, 1 in 6 are Indian. So everything about the future of these companies' profits are based upon how well they do in our markets. And if they cannot do the very basic diligence they need to do to protect caste oppressed employees and caste oppressed users of their company's products, well, they're going to reap the whirlwind, because Dalits are not going to be silent while they create oppressive content that dominates their platforms and create conditions that are violent for our people on the inside. Because everything that you've said, Sam, you know, anyone who is a person of conscience who's listening to your story, their blood is going to boil. You should not have to take casteist language from someone who is your supervisor. You shouldn't have to worry about getting demoted or getting challenged on your work product simply because you're telling the facts and they're telling their caste bigotry, and then they're shaming you for so-called like shaming India. They themselves are the ones should carry the burden of the shame, because it's not the burden of Dalits to talk and break the silence about this issue anymore. It's now time for the people who are benefiting from these networks of privilege to really take on this problem and take it on wholeheartedly. Because to be honest, when caste exists at this level, everyone suffers. And we need to do better as a society because we are facing so many different problems collectively. And anytime we diminish such a huge group of people, the way that we diminish caste oppressed peoples, we are actually losing, you know, one of the most powerful resources that we have, which is each other. And so it's really time to put an end and to annihilate caste, as, you know, Dr. Ambedkar spoke to. And, you know, we're coming to the end of this podcast, but, you know, Sam, I want to just give you the last words. You know, you are such an incredible role model for many Dalits in the diaspora, both in terms of your activism and your technical prowess, but also your role as an inspiring father. And I'm just wondering for our listeners out there, what are the last requests that you have in terms of people really working together to stop this problem?
I know this issue is close to my heart. Even I'm doing whatever, you know, limited capacity. But yes, I have to be very careful that I am, not speaking pro Ambedkar or pro, you know, our icons when I'm in the professional environment, because I know that it might hurt me. So first thing is, I would advise anybody who is there, you know, if you are doing your activism to your level, yeah, go to the people, you know, and then do it. But, you know, in the professional environment, it is, I mean, still, I think the people on the top are still not so much, you know, if they are upper caste and all, they are not so much progressive that they will understand what you are, where you are coming from. Okay, they may think that you are attacking their traditions and things like that. So I would say the best thing you can do in the professional environment is be the best. If you become the best at what you are doing, where the company, no matter what, cannot leave you, I think just be their best and then go educate your masses, go to the public outside your professional environment and then do 10 times more than what you are doing now. There are very, very few people in numbers, you know, hardly probably, you know, 100,000 people who are there in these top jobs. So if one Dalit loses the job or an on-site opportunity is an on-site, more than that person, of course, the person's family will be impacted first, but the whole community is getting impacted. So have the bigger picture. I'm not saying if you are, you know, at that level, if you want to go and, expose yourself and then do it, go ahead and do it, but think through the whole thing. So that is one of the things I would recommend anybody. To my upper caste friends, I would say, you know, you'll have to be, you know, understanding this thing that if you are not going for annihilation of caste, you are doing more harm to themselves also, to the upper caste themselves too, and definitely to the country. The whole country is at loss if you are thinking that caste is still not a big problem. If you are restricting your definition of caste to only reservation, that, oh, if you end reservation, caste system will end. No. The caste system is the root of it. That is the disease, not the reservation. Reservation is just the way where we have, you know, brought in a medicine to cure the caste, to annihilate the caste at certain point. Okay. So don't, mix the caste to reservation. We all have to work together to make, a caste-free India and caste-free world. So together we'll have to do that. You have to do a little bit more than, you have to be more progressive and then take us along to solve this problem or to annihilate caste from this world, you know, sooner than later. That's one of the key things, I think, which everybody has to take away, that we are here not asking for something, okay, give me more affirmative action or give me this. We are saying, please give us what is really any human being deserves. You know, give us a society where there is no way the checks and balances are put in such a place that there is no way that people can discriminate against caste. If we are valued, give value to our work we are doing. Give us a workplace which is safe from all these things. We don't have to worry about any people discriminating us based on anything. Look at their diversity proportions. Do you have proportionate people in every places, just like you are looking right now at the gender issue? You'll have to look at the caste issue too, at the C-suite level and at the next levels who are the decision makers. Do you have correct representation? If 15% of Dalits are there in the country, there are, you know, 52% of OBCs there and, 8% of scheduled tribes there. Do you have that representation in your bodies too? You have to make that decisions too.
After all, if you see, Brahmins are hardly 3%, but they are 90% in higher C-suite positions. And people are thinking that, because their stories only they are believing. If you are not involving the society, you are not actually capturing the Indian markets. So your market is also not, you are not growing in that market. You may be getting, some good people who are working for you in MNCs and all. But if you are looking at capturing the Indian markets, you are not going to capture that market, because you are covering the stories of India only from 3% view, not from the 90% view. So it is in their interest from the market side also. If you want to reach the Indian market, you have to tell the stories of this SC, ST, OBCs and minorities who are, almost 90% of the Indian population from their angle too. So I would request even the organizations out there, the MNCs out there, to look at their diversity things, look whether their representation or in true Indian representation is there. I really give my Jai Bhim salutes to you, Tanmaji. You guys are doing such a wonderful job, to whole of your team, and my best wishes to you. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
No, absolutely, Sam. I mean, the thing is that we're all in it together. We are all here as Dalits in the diaspora, holding the line. And, the only thing that I would add to Sam's, wonderful comments is that, what's really important is that, I think too often dominant caste people always act as if Dalits are coming with the begging bowl when we are asking for our rights. And I just want to be clear for people, we are not asking for anything. We want actually for you guys to stop acting out of privilege and to stop exploiting us, to stop discriminating against us, and to behave like proper human beings. Because the reality is that we have to take structural measures to ensure our equity, because of how powerful and how complicit and how unbearable caste hegemony is in all of these institutions. Sam's searing testimony about how, a young woman in our community set fire to themselves in this casteist, educational institution. I mean, if the conditions are this bad, we need to do something differently as a society. And that's really the call to action that we had hoped to inspire with the Caste in the United States survey. And I think that, with this Cisco case, we have such a huge opportunity in the United States to really lead a front of this conversation in a market where dominant castes are not in power. Because again, one thing that I've said in interview after interview is we have to really credit the state of California for doing something that the Indian government has not done for decades, which is to ensure and have a very public debate about the question of caste discrimination in workplaces and other American institution. So if the Cisco case, continues and there is a win, it'll be a win not just for John Doe, but it'll be a really critical step forwards towards adding caste as a protected category, which we need in all of American institutions. And then also a call to actions for these corporations to really begin to build their caste competency, start with training HR departments and managers in what caste is, how to spot caste discrimination, and to basically move forward to creating, intercaste workplaces with equity. And so, some of the stuff that Sam mentioned, which includes, stopping the violence, doesn't go far enough when we actually know that these companies have done very deep investments for diversity and inclusion measures that also include scholarships, coaching, and pathways for progress for those who are from other minority community backgrounds. At this point, we need to see those same investments for caste oppressed peoples, because the time is now. And like Sam said, this also is proper business sense, because if you want to capture the next billion users, the next billion users in South Asia are actually the caste oppressed. So it is best to actually have caste oppressed technologists be able to shape that agenda, be able to drive the collaborations with our communities so that we can rise all boats. So I'll leave folks with these thoughts and really want to thank everyone for participating. Sam, thank you again for joining us, and all of our listeners for tuning in. And we hope to see you on our next episode. And until then, Jai Bhim.
Jai Bhim.